Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Well, hello, listeners, and welcome to the Happiness Hangout Show. This is Lori Peters. This is the place and space to help you feel your best. So glad you could join us. We have a very exciting show tonight because we're going to be talking over the next few shows about happiness at work and how that looks for you and how that can be manifested maybe in new and exciting ways, depending upon how you feel about work. So very excited today to have a special guest. Her name is Alex Braddy, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about her. Alex is a life coach, motivational speaker, and the author of From Chaos to Clarity. Her work helps clients transform their lives by empowering them with personal development techniques, resources, and processes so they can take action to create and live the life they truly want. Alex founded her company, Inspire and Create, Coaching and Consulting. After 15 years at a corporate research professional position, five of which as a partner in a prestigious Washington, D.C. firm. Although there were many aspects of her prior career that she enjoyed, she also knew something was missing. As she embarked on her own journey of personal development, Alex realized the reason she felt stuck and frustrated was because she needed her life to be one she loved living instead of a life she thought she should be living. As Alex developed her learning, she understood her calling was to assist other people in navigating their life journey. She combines her love of truly connecting with people on a meaningful level with her corporate background to provide safe, nurturing, and proactive and productive environment for her clients. Alex Braddy, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Lori. It's great to be here.
Well, we're so excited to have you because I know that you talk, you're a life coach and you discuss, you know, many issues. And we're focusing a little bit more on people's workplaces. And, you know, I'll tell you, Alex, all around me, I've had people transitioning to do new things in their lives. I, for one, about a year and a half ago, made a huge transition. I've had friends, neighbors, relatives, everybody around me just saying, you know what, life is too short. Work-life balance is a big deal. Some of us are coming into the age where our parents are getting a bit older, or we want to spend more time with our kids. And life at work has been getting, you know, a struggle for some people because the expectation now with phones and social media is that you're on all the time. And you and I both know that absolutely doesn't work. So I guess I wanted to just start off by tell us a little bit just about your book, From Chaos to Clarity, what it's about and, you know, your purpose for writing it and, you know, what it does for people.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. And just even before I dive into the book, you know, I love that I'm on a show that's all about work because I got to tell you, a lot of the clients that I work with, I mean, even though I sort of call myself a life coach, it's more career and business oriented. And I'm seeing exactly the same thing, Lori. People are just deciding, you know what, I'm going to do something that makes me happy for a living. I'm not just going to stick with my, you know, nose to the grindstone. So I love hearing that. It just kind of reinforces everything that I'm seeing and hearing too. And the book itself, I mean, you know, From Chaos to Clarity, Getting Unstuck and Creating a Life You Love, it is essentially a roadmap to help people get unstuck. And for me, the journey that I share in it, that I sort of weave throughout the book, is really my journey of getting unstuck from my professional life. You know, I had been in this long career for 15 years, got to the top of my field. You know, it was one of those situations where it looked like, hey, she's got it all going on from the outside, you know, the money, the title, the big job, all the rest of it. But I was miserable on the inside. I was working crazy hours on the road, away from my family all the time, and something just had to give. So I was really forced to step back and take a long, hard look at that. And in going through my journey of sort of, you know, becoming much more self-aware of the world I had created for myself, because I think that's something that we don't always realize, is that we are creating our own reality. Even when we don't like it, we're creating it. And really getting my arms around that concept, and then, you know, working through the processes to get unstuck. And in going through that process, I ultimately did walk away from my job. Obviously, I'm doing something different now. I'm coaching, speaking, and writing. And I wanted to share that essentially for others, because I know that so many of us get stuck, and they're so, you know, people are frustrated and anxious about where their life's headed. They just don't know how to change it. And so since I've been through all that, I wanted to write a book that addresses that issue head on and provides that roadmap for how to get unstuck and take back control so you can really get your life moving in the direction you want.
Right. And, you know, it takes a lot of courage to say, you know what? I mean, I took the leap. I am very happy to say, I'm happy that I lost 70% of my pay, but I'm happy because I really enjoy every day. I could never in my life say that before. Now, I'm starting a business. That's why that happened. We all start where we need to start. And, you know, it takes a while to build that. At the same time, you know what? I'm making it. It's okay. I have a lot of great support, which I know is a big key in terms of if you are going to take any kind of a leap. I mean, some of our listeners might be in a position where they want to make a big leap. Some of them just might want to feel more empowered, which is exactly what the show this week says. They might want to feel more empowered at their job if they're going to stay where they are. So let's just keep with the theme of taking a leap. Let's just start way out there. How do you find the courage? Like, I know it comes from inside you, but do you have any thoughts on, you know, how you find that courage if you do want to make a leap to another job or a leap to start your own business?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I totally identify with your story. I mean, it's really my story too, right? You walked away from something that essentially was comfortable for you, yes, even though you didn't like it, right? Like, that was your comfort zone. You were used to it. You did have the money. And now you went out on your own, you started your own business. And yeah, that's really a big leap for sure. And I think, I mean, certainly for me, it was the realization that, you know, I could continue on this path. Certainly, I could sort of stay in this place. But you know what? Life is just going to be pretty miserable. And when I thought about myself, and this is what I would sort of, you know, say to your listeners, picture yourself 5 or 10 years from now and see how you actually feel when you think about that. Because I got to tell you, when I thought about that in my old position, I wanted to get into the fetal position. When I thought about, wow, this could be my life 10 years from now. Are you kidding me? I can't even imagine that. I just want to curl into a ball. And I have the same, you know, I do that with my clients too. And how they feel is very, very telling about how much your current situation is really draining you right now. That if you think about yourself still there 5, 10 years from now, and you just want to, you know, curl up into a ball or scream or whatever, like something negative, then that's a very strong signal that something has to change. Now, in terms of getting that courage, you know, part of it is about taking that initial step to getting a little more self-aware and realizing that you are creating your life. Now, that is a bitter pill to swallow at the beginning, particularly if you don't like where you're at, because, you know, people say to me, well, what do you mean, Alex? I don't even like where I'm at. Why would I have created that for myself? But you've made choices, you've made decisions along the way, and that's where you are right now. But it doesn't mean it has to stay that way. If you really embrace that concept that you create your own life, it's actually incredibly, to your point, very empowering, because it allows you to take back control. It allows you to say, okay, maybe I've been living by default up until this point, you know, following expectations and the shoulds and all the rest of it, and just going along to get along. But right now, today, I'm going to draw a line in the sand, and I'm going to be much more deliberate about what I am creating in my life. And once you have that self-aware knowledge, it's like a genie in a bottle. You can't put it back in. And so the more you become self-aware, the more you kind of take those steps in your own personal development journey, the more courage you are going to build to get out of your space that you're in right now. Because frankly, you won't be able to stay in it because you've got all this new knowledge and all this self-awareness, and you know that you could be having a better life. So to stay in it then becomes more painful than to make the change, even if it's a small change, or to make the huge leap. Either way, it's more painful to stay where you are than to start moving forward.
Yeah, because you can't unlearn what you already know.
Exactly.
You can push it down for a while. You know, you can try to hide it for a while. And you know, there's two things that are coming to mind. Let me just talk about the law of attraction for a minute, because you know, you talked about having that knowledge and knowing that you know the book teaches ways to help you create that life and how you do that. And when we talk about the law of attraction and creating our own lives, I've been following that maybe 13 years or so, and I've manifested things that I just can't believe that it's happened, but it has. So many things, big things. And you know, that's something I'd like to talk about, because at all the work that I've done in it, and you know, if for our listeners who don't know a whole lot about it, to put it in a couple of sentences, you know, what you put out there comes back at you. So the more aware you are of what you want, the more you're going to see it in your own reality. And, you know, I tell people, especially about money, if you keep saying, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough money, what you're attracting is more of enough, not enough money. So you know, you really have to, if you're going to do this, you really have to be aware of what it is. And since, you know, we're talking about making the life we want, tell us more about, if the law of attraction is out there, I can answer this, but I'd like to hear this from you. How come not everybody doesn't have what they want? What do you think when people say, you know, I'm trying to do it and I'm not really getting what I want? What's stopping people, do you think?
I love that. Well, one thing is what you mentioned is that people are focusing on the wrong thing. And it's a big one with money, because if you don't have money, it is really hard to essentially pivot from I don't have enough money to oh, I'm abundant. And you have to essentially get into abundance in other ways. You have to look at how you're abundant in your life. Maybe it's your relationships. Maybe it's you know, just being in nature. Like, you find abundance in the world and you start focusing on that, because it can be hard to bridge that gap between the reality of where you are and what you want to manifest. And I'm really glad that you brought up the topic of law of attraction, because I agree, there is kind of like this misconception about it. You know, many people wonder why they're not attracting what they want, even though they think they may be thinking about it a lot, right? But there's actually a little bit more to it than that. You know, first of all, we have to be very clear about what it is we want to attract. We've got to have details and specifics. We can't be vague, because the universe will fill it in, right? So if I say, you know, I would really like to manifest a fuel efficient vehicle, well, maybe what I actually want is a new Prius, but the universe could fill in the blanks and provide me with a little moped. Okay, so you've got to get specific, right? And then we have to make sure our subconscious programming is on board with what our conscious mind is asking for. So to take money, for example, of course, lots of people say consciously, I want more money, I want more money. But in your subconscious, if you have deep-seated beliefs about, you know, oh, but you know, rich people are bad, or rich people are greedy, or, you know, I won't be a good person if I have money, or it's taking money away from other people, that all that stuff going on in your subconscious, that is counteracting everything that you're doing. So you've got to make sure that subconscious is aligned with the conscious. And that usually takes a little bit of reprogramming in there to make that all happen. You know, and then I think there's two other things. You know, the third thing is we've got to be in an allowing space. You've got to be open to it coming to you in any which way, right? Like, sometimes we focus on an outcome we want and we get very hung up on exactly how it's going to come to us, right? So if we want to manifest $10,000 this month and we think the only way we can do it is through our job, well, you know, then you're narrowing down your possibilities. If you are open to how that $10,000 may come to you, then it's a lot more likely that it's going to happen, right? You're just open and in this allowing space. And then the final thing is, you can do all this inner work that I'm talking about till the cows come home, right? You can get your subconscious and conscious mind in alignment. You can be in an allowing space and you can meditate on what you want to manifest till the cows come home. But if you don't take action, nothing's going to happen, right? You can't just sit on your couch and eat bonbons and expect that, you know, your brand new vehicle is going to show up outside the door, right? You've actually got to get out there in the world and take action as well. So there's a little bit more to it that I think a lot of people just think it's like, oh, I'll just imagine what I want. I'll think about it a lot and poof, it'll appear in my world. No, a little bit more to it than that. You got to do some more work.
Well, you know, a couple of things I want to mention about that, that I know I've learned over time in my experience and in my research is it's inspired action. You don't take action if it doesn't feel right. You know, it's got to be action. You know, in my business, I own a company called The Happiness Hangout. And in my business, it's not even work. It's fun. It's something I've never experienced before, this kind of feeling with work. That's how it really has to be. It has to be, if fun isn't the right word for you, maybe it's fulfilling. Maybe it is joyous. Maybe it is that feeling of I'm doing the right thing at the right time, like contentment, whatever, because happiness means different things to different people. So whatever that work means to you, that's inspired action. That's different. And the other thing is, you know, sometimes you're lucky enough that stuff comes. Like, I have to laugh. Like, I always say this about money. Quit asking, you know, don't ask yourself for money. What happens if you don't get money coming in, but somebody takes an expense or expenses go away? Like, people forget that, like, you could have $1 million. If you're in debt $2 million, it doesn't matter. You know, it could be about the fact that somebody gave you something that took care of what you needed. It wasn't exactly how you saw it, but you were open enough to say, I want, this is what I want. And you kind of leave it out there, whether somebody gives you one, whether an expense goes away so you can get it, whether the money comes from something you never expected, whatever it is. Like, for one time, this is a small one. I find the things I don't stress over always come. Anything I get too stressed over doesn't naturally. So I wanted a new piece of exercise equipment. And this was funny. Like, you know, I really want that. I threw it out there to the, you know, university. Said, I didn't get stressed. I really like a new piece of exercise equipment. I don't know if I want to put the money out right now, but I really do want it. So about a month later, I'm walking outside. I swear my neighbor, two doors down, who I never talked to that much, owned a gym. He walked outside of his door and said, hey, anybody want this new piece of gym equipment? It's in my house. It's this. It's new. And I almost started laughing at myself, like, oh, here it comes. And I go, oh, how much? He goes, nothing. I'll give it to you for free. He goes, get another neighbor. We'll put it into your we'll put it into your basement. And there it was. It's like, oh my God, Lori, like, that happened to me. That happens all the time. And I'm not saying, oh, you know, like you said, that you don't have to take inspired action. Sometimes things do come. But at the same time, that reprogramming is big. Because I'd like to stop and talk about money for a minute. That, Alex, is where I, and I know a lot of our listeners and people out there, struggle in their dreams is the money. For example, I research and work in the field of happiness. I do gratitude exercises. I teach this stuff. I'm a college instructor. I mean, I do this and I still go backward when it comes to money. Because again, I'm in transition with change and I have to stop myself. I'll lay awake at night and then go, uh-oh, oh my gosh, look what you've done. And then I have to do a gratitude rant, take a deep breath, say, let yourself fall asleep. It is so challenging. And you know, there are people out there living paycheck to paycheck trying to live their dream. So any thoughts that you have around money, we'd love to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, part of it is, like I said earlier, just very briefly, is It is. It's challenging not to focus on the lack of money when you don't have money. I mean, that really truly is a challenge. I acknowledge that for sure. But if you really want to start attracting money, you've got to pivot your mind. You've got to start moving into an abundant mindset. And if you can't do that in terms of money itself, because it's just too far away from the reality you're experiencing, you've got to look for abundance in other ways and really focus on how much you have around you in other, you know, the fact that you have a roof over your head, that you have plenty of food to eat. And I mean, you mentioned this being in gratitude, right? Being gratitude for what you have instead of focusing on what you don't have. Because that's, you know, I think that's the other part where people get tripped up. It's like, oh, but I'm really focusing on having a lot of money. But not, you're not really, you're still focusing on the lack of it. And when we're focusing on the lack of it, that is what shows up. We basically wipe out our thoughts when we bring in that other end of the stick, as it were, right? So I think it is about putting yourself in that abundant mindset in whatever way that works for you. And as well, I mean, to your point also about, you know, being open to how that can come to you, that it may not be just from your job, that it can happen in other ways. That is so, so important. And being in this sort of space of high vibe, right? Like I mean, it sounds like we do somewhat similar work, Lori, in that, you know, you're in this, the Happiness Hangout, your company, it sounds like you're teaching, it sounds like you may be coaching. And I work with a lot of folks like that who are starting coaching businesses, or they're, you know, building their online business, they're a creative. And I remind them, when they are kind of in that space of like, God, I need clients, I need money. It's like, hey, take a step back from the money and remind yourself why you're doing this. You're doing it because you want to serve. You're doing it because it lights you up. So instead of focusing on, I really need a client because I got to pay my bills, how about reframing it as, you know, I'd love to have more clients because I want to be of as much service as I can be in the world, and really get back to the root of why you're doing what you're doing. Now that doesn't work for everybody. Not everybody's in a position to have a job like that or to have a business like that, but it is another way to sort of reframe things in terms of getting back to your why. You know, why am I doing this? What drives me every day? And if your answer there is that you're not driven and that, you know, you hate what you do, then, you know, we're kind of back to what we said earlier. Hey, it's time for change of some sort in your life.
You know, it's really funny when you talk about, I mean, I'm in a world with somebody who's going through the just year into a service business. And, you know, with me doing my own as well, what makes me feel better, and this again won't work for everybody, is I'm very pragmatic, but I love creativity. And I grew up in one of those, you know, Midwestern work hard, play hard too, but work is first and all of that. So I sat down in a really good frame of mind and I said, what is it going to take to pay my bills and even have just enough? And then what can I set aside? Because I had to find a way to stop thinking about the money, because I knew mm-hmm. if I didn't, it was never going to work. So I sat down mm-hmm. with the financial advisor and he said, write out all your bills. I wrote out everything. And I looked at some of that and I said, do I really need this? Really? Like, am I really? And, you know, I love my car, but I'd like to get my payment down $100. And in doing that, I do love this car and it's cheaper. Like, I found things that I could lower expenses on that I absolutely loved. And it took a little time to find those things. It wasn't a big deal. They were pretty much right in front of me. And I cut these expenses because I so badly wanted to do this. And I got the number there and I said, okay, if something happens, so you can stop thinking about this. Okay, where's this money that you're going to put aside? Okay, here it is. This is what I've got aside. I can pay the bills. I can have a little extra money. I will be fine. Now that you've done this, Lori, stop it and go and do what you
Beautiful.
Do. That was the only thing I could do in order to make sure, like, I couldn't live on the edge that much. And I wish I could say I could, but I did have to, like, really sort of get my arms around it.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head on the pragmatic, right? Because the other thing about money is that we often don't want to face the situation. Like, we know we don't necessarily have enough, but we don't actually want to sit down and write it out and look at the numbers and really kind of figure it out, just like you did. I mean, what you did is incredibly smart. So I think from a pragmatic point of view, you know, actually understanding your numbers is incredibly important. And there's one thing I want to add here. So if you have listeners who are, you know, they're listening into this and they're thinking, yeah, that's all great, ladies, but you know what? I am living paycheck to paycheck and I desperately want to do something else. And I really just don't even know how to begin to do that because there just ain't some extra money laying around. You know, my thing on that is, you know, you don't have to necessarily leap from your job, right? Like, it's something that some people have done. But if you really are in a place where you cannot financially do that and be okay with it, or you would be facing getting into lots more debt and you don't want to do that, that's fine. You don't have to leap from your job. What you can do is start essentially kind of building on the side, right? Whatever that is, exploring whatever your calling or your higher purpose is. Because the thing is, it doesn't have to be the source of your income, right? I mean, some of us are blessed that we get to make money doing something that we love. And I think that's where a lot of people get tripped up on this whole notion of finding your purpose and finding your calling and finding your fulfillment, that they think, oh, I suddenly have to go and figure out a way to make money. You don't have to. It can be part of your life in a different way, right? So you can try things on. You can, I mean, it could be a hobby that you love, or it could mean getting involved in a charity or a cause that you feel passionately drawn to you. It's really about what sparks motivation and desire within you so that you have that outlet, right? So that even if you have to stay in that sort of grinding 9 to 5 for a little longer, you at least have this oasis in your life where you do find your creativity, you do get in the flow, you do find that space for joy. So I just want to throw that out as an idea for some folks who are in that, I can't, you know, I literally can't change where things are at. And also, if you are considering other careers, if you are considering, you know, making a big leap, try it on first. Don't just assume that, you know, oh, I'm going to throw away my big career that I've been doing for 10 or 15 years and I'm going to go do something completely different and hey, presto, it's all going to be great and I'm going to love it. I would strongly advise you to at least in some fashion try it on. You know, talk to people who do what you want to do. See if you can sort of work shadow them for a day or volunteer in some way to get involved and see, oh, is this something I really want to do? And it is, you know, I tried a few different things on before I settled on, ooh, I really want to do coaching and speaking and writing. It took me a while to figure it out. So I just want to throw that out there that it doesn't have to be this leap that you do blindly. It doesn't have to be that you, you know, get yourself in this money space. There are other ways to go about this and find that happiness in your life.
Well, I love the idea of the side job first, if you can swing it, or talking to people who do that work and maybe even saying, hey, could I come along board if you need assistance somewhere? Maybe you make a little side money, or maybe you know, say, hey, I'd like to go with you or just be in your office and just really get a feel of what this is like, depending upon what you're doing. And like I said, side businesses, lots of people are doing them, you know, just to make extra money. And I've had numerous people say, I can't believe what this has turned into. I'm doing it full time now. I can't believe it. And another thing is, not everybody is going to absolutely love, you know, their job. If it feels right to you, fulfilling, if you wake up feeling good, you know, like you said, we want everybody to love their job, but it perhaps doesn't happen for everybody that way. But if it feels good and you feel like you're doing the right thing, I mean, would you agree that's okay too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, even if you kind of just like, oh, you know, my job is just okay. But you, again, you don't feel you're in a position to make a change, try to rekindle some of the passion for it. You know, try to find a bigger meaning for it. I love this example. It's an example that a client shared with me, but They worked in payroll in a company, and they were finding it so dreary that, you know, that's what they were doing. And, you know, it's like so boring and whatever. And we talked about sort of reframing it. I mean, looking at, okay, but yes, you're doing this and it's sort of an administrative role, but what is the end game? Well, the end game is that you are working in a job that essentially allows all the people in your company to go home and feed their families. That's a pretty big reframe, right? Like that starts to give what might be seem like a super mundane job, give it a little bit more impact and meaning and sort of add a little pep to your step. So there's always a way to reframe where you're at and look for the positive rather than dwelling on the negative, particularly if you feel you're not ready or you're just not in a position to make a big change.
I love that we're, you know, transitioning into people staying at work. And I will tell you, you know, 90% of the people listening to the show end up doing it through podcasts. So we have several hundred live listeners. And I do want to throw the number out there in case someone has a question. It is 888-627-6008. If you'd like to call in and ask Alex a question or make a comment, 888-627-6008. And while we transition into discussing, you know, staying currently into what you're doing, and I would even say for small business owners who are still, you know, trying to make their dream come true, you know, I would just really urge, it does make one feel better to sit down and look at that financial situation, because the thing is, you've really can't live your life saying, where's my next client? Where's the next customer? If you think like that, you're going to end up being lacking abundance, because you're having that sense of not enough, not enough, not enough. So you've got to somehow clear your mind. Now, maybe for some people that's meditating. Maybe for some people that's taking a walk in nature. Maybe for some people it's playing sports or exercise. But you have to do those things that fill you up, and you've got to get that whole mindset out, you know, before you can really leap forward. So let's talk about work. People in their jobs. I love what you just said about think about how you can reframe what you're doing and how it's valuable to the world. What about, Alex, people who come into work and there's negativity around them, whether their space around them is very dull and dreary, or the people around them, negativity, or the customers are really tough to deal with. Do you have advice on things people can do at work to make their work life more satisfying?
Yeah, what a great question. And a couple of thoughts on that. And it is, you know, that's a challenging situation if you feel like you're really in an environment that feels very negative to you. So the first thing I would say for that is seek out the people who are more aligned with wanting to be positive, or who are positive, right? And I mean, they do exist, right? No matter sort of how oppressive you feel the atmosphere is in your office or your place of work, there's always one or two people who kind of are the upbeat souls, right? So start gravitating towards the people that you want to be around, right? You want to, and I would say this, by the way, this is true for your whole life, not just at work. Surround yourself with people that support you and lift you up. Because you staying in a high vibe place, you staying positive, becomes so much more difficult when you are surrounded with a bunch of negative Nellies, right? So whether you're at work or just in your life in general, you want to surround yourself with those positive people. So seek them out in your workplace. And they won't be hard to find if you are in kind of a negative workplace, right? They're going to stand out like sore thumbs. So align right. yourself and make your little, you know, again, make your little oasis, make your little pact, and identify with them. And the second thing I would say is really your responsibility. It's inner work. And what I mean by that is essentially being aware that yes, the negative energy is around me, but it doesn't mean that it has to impact me. And so one of the cool little tricks you can do with that is imagine that you essentially sort of have a bubble or sort of, you know, a circle area around you, even if you think about it as, you know, your personal space, right? We all are sort of have a range around us physically that sort of is our personal space. And you know what it is, because if someone invades it, you take a step back, right? But imagine that you have this wonderful bubble around you, and it's all within that, it's all good energy. It's all your energy, it's good energy, and people cannot penetrate it. They cannot penetrate it with their negative energy. Another, you know, visual you can do is to, you can put like a beautiful rose visually at the edge of your little energy field, your little energy bubble. And if there's negative energy coming in, allow the rose to absorb it, or whatever visual you want. If a rose is too girly for you, guys, if you're listening, pick something else, right? A lightsaber. I don't know if you're a Star Wars fan, whatever it is. But my point is, like, do that inner work. Like, go in with the intention that I'm in a good place, I have high vibe, I'm protecting my energy, and people don't get to come in and penetrate that. So that you essentially are relying on yourself to maintain that space. And you'll be surprised, by the way, if you do that, you will have an impact on some of the people around you. You'll notice that they start to, they'll do one of two things. Either they'll raise their vibration to match yours and they'll start to be more positive, or they will simply kind of drift away. Like, because the gap between where you're at with your vibration is so far, you know, beyond where they're at, that literally they will just sort of drift away and they'll not be people that you interact with that much at all. But that piece totally starts with you.
Well, yes. And, you know, I would even, you know, like to talk about the space around them. And if you're lucky enough to have space around you, you know, maybe bringing in a few things that you love, putting a few colors in your space that you love. I mean, I had a feng shui expert on, you know, wonderful stuff. But just think about, you know, what brings me up? And you can bring those, if you are lucky enough, again, bring those kinds of things into your space so you can look at them, whether it be some pictures or whether it be colors or whether it would be whatever. But one thing we've learned around happiness research, Alex, is that, you know, whatever you have that you love over time becomes your new norm, and it doesn't have that excitement anymore. So I do suggest mixing things up, you know, bringing in different things to the office. I had things in my office that were there for 15 years and I never paid one bit of attention to them anymore. But sometimes you got to mix it up a little, and so a gift you get or something that reminds you of something that is your reason for being here on Earth, you know, not just pictures, but things that you just love, helps you visually. And then you've got your support network. I mean, hey, everybody gets a lunchtime. You know, if you need to listen to something positive or read or just get out and take a little walk, those are things that we really have to think about in order to make that day be as good as it can be.
Yeah, those are, I would love those. Great tips. And as you're, I was just thinking back to my office that I had, and I really didn't have a ton in there that I totally loved, but I did have a picture of me and my husband. And I remember quite vividly as you were describing that when I would get to that very stressed out place, or maybe someone was in my office that, you know, I just didn't want to deal with them or whatever, I literally would just kind of gaze at that picture and it would make me smile. And it would just sort of bring me back into a better place, right? So it can be as simple as a picture, or as you said, just anything you feel good about that you know, you're able to have in your office, that you look at it and it kind of makes you smile. Even if it's just a smile on the inside, right? It still will help lift you a little bit. I love that. Great tips.
You know, and I don't think you or I are telling anybody, if it's just a dreadful situation and there just isn't, you just know it's over. I think we all, and if we follow our gut, and following your gut is your best friend, as we all know. When you follow your gut, if you know it's over, you know, then begin the process of planning, you know, where you're going to go next. Like we said, do the side work, start getting the resume together, start, you know, making the, sometimes that even makes people feel better to know they're starting the process of going to the, you know, to the next phase of their life. Just do what you have to do, because living that way for 8 to 10 hours a day is no way to live.
Oh no. And it literally will just start. I mean, you probably, if that's your situation, you probably already physically feel drained. And if you continue to do it over time, I mean, literally you as a person, physically, mentally, emotionally, all those aspects, they literally will start to deteriorate. You will kind of become a shell of your former self. So, you know, it is so cliche, but life is much too short to spend wasting it away in that manner, right? And here's the thing, you know, you always have a choice. Now, I'm not saying the choice is easy, okay? But last I checked, you know, you don't have to stay in a job you hate, right? It's not, slavery's been gone for a long time, right? Like, you don't have to stay. Now, the choice to leave may be challenging. And maybe you do have to take a dip in salary for a while, or maybe you do have to bridge the gap financially or some other thing. Maybe you've got to go back to school for the thing that you really want to do, right? So you've got to sort of, you know, what feels like maybe a step backwards to go forwards. But there is always a choice. Always, always, always there is a choice. So don't forget that. Don't feel like, well, I have no choice. I have to stay. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's the choice you're making right now, and maybe understandably, but there is always a choice. And remember that, because if you tap into that, oh, I can have a choice here. What exactly is my choice? You know, well, I can stay and be miserable. I can stay and try to reframe it for myself, try to find meaning, try to find happiness in what I'm doing, or I can leave. And, you know, my options on leaving, I mean, gosh, right. If you really peel back that onion, there are lots of options on leaving. You know, whatever you're doing right now is not the only thing in the world that you are capable of doing or that you are destined to do.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, if I want to get back into the book here, we talk about reprogramming the way we think. Can you talk to us a little about that? Because maybe whatever people's situation is, the reprogramming process might be something that I think might be really helpful for everybody. Could you talk about that within the book, From Chaos to Clarity, about reprogramming where you need
Absolutely.
To?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's such a crucial chapter, right? So when I talk about reprogramming, here's what I mean. You have that subconscious part of your mind. It's about, I think, 85 to 90% of your mind. So it's a huge part of it. And like I mentioned earlier, if it's not in alignment with what you're consciously thinking, then, you know, things are not going to happen the way you want them to. And your subconscious is often the thing that drives your behavior, right? So, like, I mean, just think about going to the gym. It's always a good example because people always struggle with this. So consciously and intellectually, you know, going to the gym is good for me, but your behavior, your actions may not reflect that. It's like, oh no, you know, I don't want to, because something's going on in your subconscious that you don't want to go there, right? The subconscious always overrides the conscious. And so we need to take a dive into our subconscious to understand what's going on in there, because that's where all the limiting beliefs live. That's where all the fears live. And so when you're growing up as a child, a lot of the stuff gets programmed in at an early age. And I mean, that's the way we are, right? We're sponges as kids. We're meant to absorb information. We observe things, we hear things from our parents, and there's no blame here. And this is not licensed to say, oh, I knew my parents were the blame. No, you're an adult now. You get to take responsibility. But it is true that we get a lot of it as we're growing up. And of course, that means that a lot of it comes from our parents. So if you heard in your house, when you were growing up, that, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, you've got to work really hard to get ahead, oh, you know, those nice things, they're for those people. We're not those people. We're poor in our household. That's only for rich people. Those types of things may still be living in your subconscious, and they are holding you back. So the reprogramming process I have in the book is this. It essentially helps you tap into your subconscious to see, what is actually going on in there? What are the limiting beliefs that you're walking around with that you maybe had no idea that they were in there? And then asking yourself, okay, does this belief still serve me today? And where did it come from? Now, sometimes you can't, you may not be able to pinpoint that, but if you can, if you can actually cast your mind back and think, oh yeah, I did hear that as a kid, or I did watch that as a kid, or I did see it. It's really helpful because you're able to then see that was that person's belief. Does it have to be mine? Maybe it was growing up because I was a child, but I'm an adult now. So if this belief isn't serving me well anymore, and if it's not my belief to begin with, I've just been kind of carrying it around with me for a while, can I let it go? And the answer, when you look at it that way, is nearly always yes. Like, why would I continue to hold on to it? That sounds like crazy talk, right? Of course I want to let it go. And so it walks you through how to let it go. And then, of course, you've got a vacuum now, right? You've let go of this belief. You've got a program in a new one because you've got a space there. And so it walks you through how do you bring in a new belief that actually does serve you well and also feels credible and real, like you can put your arms around it. Because sometimes, like I was saying, with especially with money, right, we may not be able to reprogram our mind from, money doesn't grow on trees to, oh, there's an abundance of money everywhere, right? That new belief may just be a bridge too far. And actually, if you do that, if the new belief is something that immediately kind of creates resistance, you're basically undermining all your good work, right? So You've got to adjust that belief so that, yes, it's a new belief. It may feel like a little bit of a stretch, but you can really start to wrap your head around it. And a really easy, simple thing to do is you can put the words, I'm in the process of, at the beginning of your new belief, and it can take the resistance right out of it, right? So let's say you're setting up your new business and, you know, obviously you want an abundance of clients, but you don't have any, right? So a new belief of I have an abundance of clients is just, you're like, what utter nonsense. Like my mind can't possibly begin to like believe that and say that to myself. But if you put in front of that, I'm in the process of attracting an abundance of clients. Now that's a whole different ballgame.
Because
you
totally
are.
Different.
Yeah, you are in the process of doing it, right? Like you're setting up your business, you are essentially putting yourself out there and you're getting ready to receive clients. And over time, you're going to build more clients and have an abundance. So you are, that's a true statement. You are in the process of doing that particular thing. And it just takes the resistance right out of it. So just a little trick for when you are looking for that new belief and you want to bridge the gap between where you're at and where that new belief is taking you.
Oh, I love that. And you know, a lot of us really respect whoever raised us, whether it was grandparents, parents, foster parents, however your life was. And sometimes because we respect whoever raised us so much, that can be an issue too. So I know at times I've had to say, you also have to trust yourself. Like, you know, I believe things that my parents didn't believe about people in the world. Okay. And I've had to come to the point though, before I could really do that, I had to start trusting my own gut and letting go, because no matter how old you are, sometimes you still have that it's mommy, daddy, grandpa, aunt, uncle, aunt, whoever who said that. And you have to say, you have to have enough inside you to say, it's okay. I know what I'm seeing. I know what I'm experiencing. It's really good. I trust myself. Things are supposed to expand as generations go. It's supposed to be that way. So do what you know needs to be done and let go. That took me a while. That's a process. And I just want people to be aware that can be an issue too. And that you have to start believing in yourself sometimes before you can let that in.
Yeah, absolutely. That great point. I'm glad you brought that up. And I would just, you know, add a really minor thing to that, which is, you know, it's okay for them to have their belief and for you to have yours, right? Even if you sort of feel like, well, I was brought up on that. And, you know, like you said, I really respect my mom and dad and they're smart people, they're good people, and they believe that. I don't want to go against them and have a different belief. But you don't have to look at it that way. You can basically say, hey, you know what? That's their belief and they are absolutely entitled to have it. And, you know, I'm just kind of going to go with a new belief and see how it works for me, right? You don't even need to put pressure on yourself. You can say, hey, I'm going to experiment with a new belief and just, you know, see how that works out for me for a while. So, you know, just another way to think about it, that you don't, it doesn't have to feel like, ooh, I'm like violating, you know, what they think, or I'm going against them. It's just like, no, they can have theirs and I'll have mine. It's all good.
Right. And again, that isn't something, you know, let yourself be okay with that. Know that it might be a struggle for a minute, but eventually because you want it, you let it go. So, you know, while we're towards the end of this, you know, we're talking about Alex Braddy and her book From Chaos to Clarity. And we're discussing like those times when you're doing these things, you've started the business or you've taken a whole new thought process to work with you and how you're going to deal with it. There are still those days where you feel stuck, where maybe it's just been overload, maybe too much. It's just gone crazy. What are some things that you recommend, Alex, in the book, or you would just recommend in general to do to help people to kind of get unstuck or go to the next level?
Yeah. So, if you're kind of in that place, so three quick tips for that, if you just to sort of get some forward momentum, right? If you just feel stuck and you're like, oh, I just need something, right, to get me going again. Take a step back, like hit the pause button and just take a step back and almost like a neutral observer of your own life, just accept the situation for what it is. Now, that doesn't mean you're resigning yourself to it. It just means you're accepting it. And you have to do this if you want to change it, because the more you resist it, and by resisting, I mean sort of like hating on it, right? Like, oh, why is this happening? I'm so upset, you know, I'm so angry, whatever. That resistance basically locks it into place. Like if you think about being at the gym and lifting weights, that's resistance training. You're building that muscle. The more you resist what's going on in your life and you're hating on it, you're essentially strengthening it and locking it into place. So you've got to take a step back. You've got to accept it for what it is with the knowledge that you can change it, right? Not that you're just giving up, but accept it for what it is. And then next, start getting clear on what you want. Now, this is when what showed up that you don't like is actually really a helpful thing. It's essentially contrast to help you get clear on what you do want. Because sometimes when I ask people, okay, fine, you know, you're not happy, you feel stuck, what do you want? It's like a deer in headlights. We can't answer that question, right? I had trouble answering it at one point in my life too, because we're so kind of stuck where we are that we can't imagine life any other way. So we can't answer a simple question of what do you want? So start with what you don't want. That's really the trick. Start with what's showing up in your life that you don't want and ask yourself, okay, if I don't want this, what is it that I do want? Use that contrast, use that negative situation as a springboard to help you get really clear on exactly what it is you do want instead. And then third, start paying attention to your thoughts and where you place your focus. And we've talked about this a little bit, but I mean, just to be really clear about it, what you think, what you say, what you feel, what you believe inwardly, it all contributes to your outward reality that you're creating. So realize you hold the power to create the life you want, and it's precisely because of how and where you channel your energy. So instead of focusing all that stuff that is showing up in your life that you don't want, now you're clear on what you do want, start focusing on that. Start getting really clear on why you want it and start getting really clear on how you want to feel when you have it. Because at the end of the day, and Lori, I know you know this because you're doing all this research on happiness. At the end of the day, all we are chasing are feelings. Everything that's showing up in your life that you don't want, it's because of how it makes you feel. You don't like how it makes you feel. The stuff that you do want, it's because of how that makes you feel, even with something tangible. So if you want more money or you want a new house or a new car, yes, you want that material item, but you want it because of how it makes you feel. Because it, right. You know, if I have money, I feel secure, I feel safe, I feel successful, I feel accomplished, whatever that emotion is for you. But it's all about feelings. So you've got to get really clear. What do I want? Why do I want it? And how do I want to feel? And then start channeling your energy towards it.
Alex, wonderful information. We're about to wrap up here, and I'm so glad to have had you on the show. I want to mention Alex Braddy's book, From Chaos to Clarity. You can pick up her book at www.alexbraddy, that's AlexBraddy books.com. And you can also hear about her coaching programs and everything else she's doing at www.alexbratty.com. And Alex, as we're wrapping up here, we've got about a minute. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell our folks about what's going on with you?
Sure, that would be wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, so if you are feeling stuck, if you've been kind of connecting as we've been having this conversation, if it's been resonating with you, I do offer free 20-minute assessment calls. And you can just go to my website, alexbratty.com, alexbratty.com. And there's a little form you fill out there in the contact section, and you can get on my calendar to get a free assessment call where you get to tell me, you know, where you're stuck or what's going on with you, and I will essentially share my insights and advice on what you can do to help you start moving forward again. And then, of course, the book, From Chaos to Clarity, Getting Unstuck and Creating a Life You Love, it's available on Amazon, and it's on there any which way you like it, paperback, Kindle, and audio.
Wonderful, Alex. Thank you so much, Alex Bratty, for being on the show. I would like to thank our sponsors, AirServe of Strongsville and AirServe of Menor, the residential and commercial heating and cooling companies in the Cleveland, Ohio area. Both veteran-owned companies provide the best warranties and guarantees, best financing in the business. Go to www.airserve.com, and that's AIRESERV. Humanity Thriving Out Loud. Read The Magic Happens magazine at www.themagichappensnow.com. Thank you so much. And listeners, glad you've been with us tonight. Wonderful show, Alex. And we'll see you all next time from the Happiness Hangout. Have a great night.